Good evening. It's good to be here with y'all again tonight, and I'm excited to study together and share another portion of God's Word, and I hope that what I've prepared is beneficial to you in some way. If you'll open your Bibles and follow along with me, we're going to be taking the context of our study out of 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you want to mark that in your Bibles, we'll be turning back there quite often. So I'm going to start by reading this, and we'll start in verse 3 and go through 21. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Now, we're going to start breaking this chapter down, and we'll start with verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The word begotten here is a reference of having to do with family. Like, we're God's begotten children. We're in his family. And, you know, by his mercy we're begotten and we are his children. And through that we have a living hope. And that hope isn't something vain or perishable. It's alive. And it's because Christ was resurrected that we have that hope. And what is it that we hope for? And if you'll turn with me to, well, I guess we're already there, but 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." When you think about someone in this world getting an inheritance, who would you think of? If, you know, say Lee died tonight, who would get his inheritance? It would be his wife or his children. And the children of the person that died. And we are God's children. And by the resurrection of Christ, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and won't fade away. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20. says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and or steal." You know, if we receive an inheritance in the world or think about the blessings we have in this life, no matter what it is, it can be taken away from us. Whether it be money or, you know, a possession, a car, or even family, those things can be taken away from us, whether we like it or not. But the hope we read about, it can't be taken away from us. It's reserved for us in heaven. If you think about going to a restaurant and you make a reservation beforehand, then your name's there. When you get there, you get to go inside. And that's what a reservation is. And this hope that we have is a reservation of being in heaven one day, of an inheritance that isn't corruptible. We'll look at 1 Peter 1 and 5. It says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, we are kept and we are protected through our faith. If you'll turn with me to John 10 and verse 27 through 29. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, we are kept and we are protected by God, and no one can take that from us. And, you know, someone, they could take our lives and they can take anything we own, any possession in this world, but they can't take our salvation from us. And it's that reservation that we have and that hope that we have that can't be taken away from us. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 1 and 6 through 7. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." No. When he is writing here, he tells them, "Hey, I know the road. It's about to get rough, and if you'll hang in there, it's going to be worth it." But if you'll look with me at the ending of verse 5 and beginning 6, it says that our salvation will be revealed, and we should rejoice in this. If you'll turn with me to Romans 5, verses 2 through 4. Says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." You know, when we're going through these tribulations, we still have our hope, but it's those trials that give us patience, and patience leads to experience, and then we have that hope that we read about. Turn with me to Romans 8 and verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In verse 7 of Peter, it says our faith is much more valuable than gold, and that it might be worth praise and glory when Jesus comes back. And you know, if we stand strong when we have trials, that it'll be worth it. It won't be like anything we can compare to, that from the joy that's in us. If you'll turn with me to James 1 and verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." You know, here we see that if we have to endure the temptations to have that crown and to have that hope that we read about, it's not just if we go through these temptations and cave into them and, you know, roll over and throw in the towel. We have to stand strong and we have to come through these temptations, and we can do that with the hope that we have, to focus on the hope. We have to rejoice, and we have to be strong. Let's go back to 1 Peter 1, verses 8 through 9. It says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You know, it takes faith to believe in someone that we haven't seen, but the evidence is abundant. And if we continue in our faith and keep the hope that we have as our goal, we will be happier than we can comprehend. We will receive the salvation of our souls, and that's worth more than anything can be. If you'll turn with me to Romans 6 and verse 22. It says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." You know, we're serving God right now, and the fruit of our holiness is life everlasting. It's the salvation of our souls. It's that hope that we have. Let's go back to 1 Peter 1 and look at verses 10 through 12. It says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto yourselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." You know, the prophets, they weren't able to see completely what it was that they were prophesying about. They had just a glimpse of it, but they didn't get to see everything. But us, on the other hand, we're on the backside of the cross. This already happened. He died and was risen again. And we get to look back and see that. And we have all the tools in the Bible that we need to achieve this hope and to achieve this salvation. And we should be thankful, and we should take advantage of that. And take advantage that we get to see all the details of what happened and all the prophesying of Christ. And then the prophecies fulfilled. If you'll turn with me to James 1 and verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, we need to be doers. We have this great hope and this great faith through the resurrection of Jesus. In order to have that hope and to follow after God, we have to do our part, and we have to be doers. If we'll go back to 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, Peter, he was writing here, and he was writing earlier about the hope that we have and to keep rejoicing even through the fiery trials. Now he's telling us what our part to receive that hope is and what our part is to please God. He says, "Gird up the loins of your mind and hope till the end." And it's not over till it's over. And we need to keep carrying on and keep doing the will of God and trying to strive every day to follow after Him. And we need to do this every day of our lives, because it's not over until we see our Father in heaven. If you'll turn with me to Titus 2 and 12 through 13. It says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, we have to live righteously while we're in this world. As long as we are living and breathing in this world, we should be living according to His will and striving to do God's will. You know, and we should be looking forward to that hope and the appearing of Jesus Christ and of God. And the word here, soberly, it's not talking about being drunk with wine or anything like that, trying to stay sober. It's the soberness of your mind, using good judgment. And we should be using good judgment in our lives and trying to live righteously. If you'll turn with me to Back to 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, we have to be obedient to Him, but we have to put away anything that's evil. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians 4 and verses 22 through 24. Says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, when we are baptized, we don't go back to doing the same things that we were doing in our life before. We have to change, and we have to put off the old man and on with the new. And we have to live according to His purpose. And we have to walk in that newness of life. And we can't associate with the evil things of this world anymore. We have to put that behind us. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, if we think we can be around the things that we were before we were baptized and the things of this world and not be corrupted by that and not fall into doing those same things, then we're ignorantly deceiving ourselves, because we can't do that. And I mean, it says here, evil communications corrupt good manners. If we're around things like that, it's going to corrupt us too. If you'll turn with me back to 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16. Says, that as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, we have to follow after Him in the word here, conversation, it means behavior. It's not just a conversation that you're carrying on with someone, but it's how we conduct ourselves in this life. And we need to be holy in every way that we conduct ourselves, and we need to strive to be like Christ and strive to be like God, because He is holy. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, we should be holy and have good behavior in this world. Not for ourselves, but so that people can see our good works and see that we're Christians and glorify God through that. If you'll turn with me to Leviticus 11 and 45. It says, For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You know, God, He has always called His people to be holy. That's what He expects of us, because He is holy. And we need to be like Him, and that's the least we can do. If you'll turn with me to 1 John 5 and verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know, after everything God has done for us and given us that hope that we have and that inheritance through the resurrection of Christ, shouldn't we do our part and keep His commandments? And after all, He's not asking too much of us. If you'll turn back with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. It says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, sojourning here means we are passing through. We're not just staying on this world forever. It's not our home. Heaven is our home. And while we're here, we need to do His commandments, and we need to fear God. So turn with me to Hebrews 12 and verse 28. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, we have and we will receive this kingdom one day, and we should serve God, and we should have fear, because that's what He's given to us. He's given us that hope that we have, that incorruptible inheritance. If you'll turn back with me to 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 through 19. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, the reason Christ came and died is because there was a debt, and it was the debt of our sins, the whole world's sins. And no matter how much money we have, no matter how much possessions or animals, anything, there wasn't enough sacrifices or enough things in this world that we could do to pay that debt back. It had to be the perfect sacrifice of Christ. And you know, He redeemed us. He purchased us. And this is why we have to serve Him, because we are His. If you'll turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, Christ, He sacrificed His body, and He sacrificed His life on that cross for us. And, you know, He asked us to give Him His life, give Him our lives. And He's not asking us to go through the same thing He went through. You know, I don't think anybody in this world will ever have to go through what He did. But we can give Him our lives, and we can dedicate ourselves to Him. And He's not asking too much. He's not being selfish when He asks us to do this. And, you know, if we keep God's commandments, it's going to benefit our lives all around. We'll go back to 1 Peter 1 and verse 20 through 21. It says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You know, this was the plan all along. Everything the prophets prophesied of, the Savior coming and saving the world and coming to die on the cross and being risen again, that was God's plan from the very beginning. You know, He knew that we weren't going to be able to be perfect. We couldn't be that perfect person. And, you know, God sent Christ to die for us. And He did that for you and I, and that was the whole plan all along. That's what it comes back to, is the resurrection of Christ. That's what we have our hope in. And it says the last times, and the last times, that's anybody from the time Christ had risen to present day, and this applies to us. If you'll turn with me to Psalms 146 and verses 3 through 5. Says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." You know, we can trust a lot of people, or we can put our trust in a lot of people in this world and a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, most of them are probably going to fail us. But if we put our trust in God, He's not going to fail us. You know, Christ has gone to prepare for us a place. And, you know, He said He's going to come back for us one day. And, you know, if He said He's going to, He's going to come back. And we need to put our trust in God and trust in that He is going to redeem that promise. You know, if you are not a Christian tonight, then you do not have the hope that we read of. You do not have it. It's not yours. But tonight we can help you with that. You can be baptized into the body of Christ and become a Christian, and you can have that hope, and you can start walking with God. If you're a Christian tonight and you feel like you haven't been living holy in your life, and you would like the prayers of the church or some way we can help you, we'd ask that you would come forward and have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.